It's been said that every quilt tells a story, and it's so true. But I also believe every quilter has a story to tell. I wanted to hear about the people behind these wonderful quilts and thought you'd enjoy hearing about their lives also. Welcome to A Quilter's Life. It was so fun to get to know Robin Capps. Her daughter had posted a picture of one of Robin's quilts on her Facebook page, and my sister happened to see it. I'm so glad this led to an interview. So, thanks Sadie and Ruth for helping this connection to happen. Robin, thanks for joining us on A Quilter's Life.
Oh, great. Thank you.
I am so excited that my sister sent me your name. She mentioned that she knew your daughter and saw a picture of one of your quilts on Facebook.
Yes, my daughter told me and asked if she could share my information, and I told her that would be great.
And then after I started looking you up, I saw that you were part of the Christian Quilt Guild with Jerrianne Massey, and I interviewed Jerrianne a couple years ago. So that was a fun connection.
Yes, I love Jerrianne. She's great. She's a great Christian lady that helps a lot of people. And the Christian Quilt Guild I'm part of, there's a story behind how I got connected to that. And it's been a blessing to me.
Oh, cool. I'm excited to hear that story here in a little bit. Well, let's start with your background. Now, where were you born and raised?
I was born and raised in Tyler, Texas, here in East Texas. It's a beautiful area. I still live in the area, and I'm not going to leave because it's just beautiful, and it's grown a lot since I was little. I'm amazed at how much it has grown, and it just brings lots of people from all over that are moving to this area. It's a wonderful area to be in.
East Texas is beautiful. So many times when we think of Texas, we think the West Texas.
Right. Yeah, you can drive and then all of a sudden the scenery just changes, but it's not like East Texas. East Texas is full of trees and beautiful flowers, and it's just God's country.
Robin, please share a childhood memory.
I think one that has stood out with me more than anything is that every Sunday afternoon, with my family growing up, we would travel to Noonday, Texas, which is here in East Texas, not far from Tyler, to my grandmother's house. And we would spend the afternoon there. And I just did a whole lot of outdoor activities with my brother, my grandmother. I would go down there and spend the weekend with her. And she would get up early and go to bed. She was set on her times for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And I just remember that. But my grandmother was a quilter. And that's where I think I really kind of first got introduced to quilting, because I would sleep on something called a sleeping porch, which is an outdoor porch area that has screens on the windows. And so there was no AC or central heat and air. It was just a screen with fresh air. And in the colder months, it would be pretty chilly in there. So she would pile up several quilts on top of the bed. And that's where I would sleep, with all these quilts on top of me. And I just remember that from growing up. Every Sunday, we would go down there and visit with her.
Oh, I am picturing that. The house that we live in was built by my husband's great-grandparents. And we have what was a sleeping porch. It's been built in now. But in his great-grandmother's diary, she said she went to make her bed one day and it had been so cold out there that her pillow was frozen.
Oh my goodness, that is pretty chilly then. I don't know if I've slept that cold. It's been really cold, but I don't know how many quilts she would put on the bed, but it would be just plenty warm, you know, for me. And I didn't have a problem with it, but that sounds pretty chilly when your pillow freezes.
Oh, that fresh air must have been something too, though.
Yes, I remember it like yesterday. That's been, I guess, my most childhood memory that has really stuck with me is the quilting. But then as time has evolved and I've grown up and my kids have grown up, then now I've gotten into the quilting. I know my grandmother would be very proud of me.
Yeah. Did you see her quilting?
I did. She actually had a wooden quilting frame that would roll up to the ceiling, and it would have little C-clamps, like they would roll it up to the ceiling. And I'm sure my dad helped her fix it to where it would work for her the way she wanted it to. He was a handyman, but it would roll up to the ceiling. And then when she wanted to work on it, she would roll it down and just sit in her living room and hand quilt on it and watch TV or listen to the radio, whatever she preferred. But that was what I remember about her quilting, is that she hand quilted everything, and she made me one, and I still have it. She made my brother one, and then one was the little Dutch doll, I believe is the name of the pattern. Yeah, I have several of her things she did, but she embroidered and she did crochet, and she taught me how to crochet. So, you know, she was very crafty, and she actually crocheted the little small doilies, and they were beautiful. That to me was really tiny, and I could never quite mastermind looking like hers, but hers were just beautiful, and I have several of those.
They did amazing work, didn't they?
Yes.
Did you have employment over the years?
I have worked ever since I was 16 years old. I was still in high school, and I just had a little part-time job, but then I went off to college and still worked part-time. But as I was working on my accounting degree, I actually went to work for the state of Texas, and I was part-time. And then once I graduated with my accounting degree, I was hired on full-time. And I spent 19 years with the state of Texas working in their accounting department and their automation department. And then my kids were kind of getting a little older, and the daycare just wasn't working out for us. So my husband, he's a civil engineer, and he ventured off and opened his own business. And so when I decided to leave the state, I started keeping his office bookkeeping. And I did that from home for a while as my kids kind of grew up. And then we opened up a construction company. We do a lot of city municipality work. So we've been in business for that since 2007. And I've worked full-time for that ever since. And I'm still there.
Now, not everybody can work with their husband. So that is wonderful.
Oh, I have a godsend husband. He's wonderful.
You mentioned that you grew up in East Texas and you're still in East Texas. Now, did you go away to school and come back, or have you been there the whole time?
I stayed in East Texas the whole time. I just went here locally to a little junior college, and then went to the University of Texas at Tyler, where I got my accounting degree. And once I got my accounting degree, then I decided maybe I should take a few more classes. And so actually I have my master's degree in business administration.
Wow. Congratulations. That's hard work.
Yes, it took a while. And I was dating my husband at the time. So we've been married, this year it'll be 29 years.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
So how close are you to where you were born and raised?
Actually, Tyler is about 10 miles from where I live today. I live just south of Tyler in a really small town, which is growing because everybody likes this area and they're steadily building houses and moving to this area. The school system's great. My kids went to the same public school from kindergarten through 12th grade. I have two girls. My oldest is 24 and she's married. She'll be married for 3 years this summer. And then my youngest, actually, she's 21, about to be 22. And she went to cosmetology school. So she does hair in Tyler. And she still lives here with us because she decided to go back to school, and she's gone now to UT Tyler, and she's studying to be a civil engineer like her dad. I really like where we live. We're just south of Tyler, and it's a small community. Everybody knows each other, and you go to the grocery store and see everybody you know. So it's a very close community.
And how did you choose to move there? Was it the job or just wanting to be close to Tyler and finding a wonderful place.
My husband and I were dating, and he actually bought a piece of property out here that was about 7 acres, and he decided he wanted to purchase it. So he purchased it, and then we got married, and there was a little house on it that we lived in for a couple of years, and then we decided to build a house. So we built a house on the property. And so that's kind of how that, I guess, kind of evolved. It was just in God's plan for us to live here in Bullard.
So you got to plan your house. How exciting.
Yes. Actually, we did a lot of the work ourselves on it for a long time. And then we decided that we were tired. And so we hired some contractors to come in and help us finish it up.
Well, working full time and working on your house, that had to have been rough.
Yes. It was rewarding, though. I mean, to watch it go up and to know that we played a part in doing different little things, whether staining the cabinets or painting the walls or just little stuff. It was rewarding.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything else about your family you would like to share?
I'm very proud of my girls. They turned out great. I remember my mother always talking about when everybody would come and say, your children are so nice and kind. We love them. I understand where she's coming from now because people tell me that about my girls and it makes me feel good. I feel like I taught them well and that they know right from wrong. So they turned out to be great girls and they're hard workers and I'm very proud of them.
Reminds me of the scripture that says they'll rise up and call you blessed.
Yes, exactly.
If you had the opportunity to talk to your great-great-grandchildren, how would you describe yourself to them?
I'm a rule follower. I follow the rules. It's like, if you're supposed to do this, do this. If you're not, don't do that. And so I would want them to know that to always do the right thing and be kind to others. If someone moves into the area and they're at school and they don't know anyone, to be nice to them and invite them to sit with them and to know that they've got a friend. Because if the shoe was on the other foot, you wouldn't want somebody to be that way with you. So treat your neighbors the way you would want to be treated. That's how God brought us up, and that's what we should do.
Yeah. Besides quilting, are there other crafts that you do or that you have done in the past?
Well, when I was growing up, like I said, my grandmother taught me how to crochet. In high school, I was in home economics, and you had to make a project. So I chose to crochet a blanket. And I did that. I crocheted a blanket because my grandmother taught me how to crochet. And so I thought, well, that would be cool. I'll do that. So I did it in my school colors. I still have it. I still have that blanket. So I was glad that my grandmother taught me how to crochet because I've taught others how to crochet now. I've never learned how to knit, though. That's a little different. I've learned how to cross stitch, and I've cross stitched many pictures, and I have some of them hung in here in my house that are from like the early 90s, but it's art to me because it's a needle and thread with fabric. And so they have turned out to be beautiful, and I've hung them on the wall. I actually cross stitched with my mother quite a bit because she liked to cross stitch. And I think it's a numbers thing. And I'm an accountant, so I like numbers. So I guess that's why I like the cross stitch. I did do that. As far as quilting and sewing, when I was growing up, I wanted to learn how, and I wanted to do it on a machine. So I bought my first sewing machine. I think it was in 1989. And it was a Singer, and it was in a cabinet. And I was so proud of it because I bought it myself. And I was like, okay, I think I was probably 21 at the time. 22, maybe, I'm guessing, but it was a Singer, and I tried to learn how to do a Dresden plate is what I was wanting to learn how to do. And so I tried my best, and it was neat, but I just could not figure out how it all went together. Anyway, I put it up and didn't sew for a long, long time, and or just little things. I tried to make some clothes. My mother always made my clothes when I was growing up. She was a seamstress for clothing. Basically is what she would always try to make clothes when she was on her sewing machine. And she had a Singer, and I still have that machine. And when she passed away, I kept it. And as far as quilting, I did not get into quilting until probably 2016. And that's when I decided that I wanted to learn more and do more. And that's kind of where God came into the picture and said, yes, this is the path that you're going to be on, that I've chosen for you to learn more about quilting and join the Christian Quilt Guild, because it all started in the hospice. My mother was in hospice in 2016. My dad had passed away suddenly in 2011 with cancer. And so my mother, she lived another 5-6 years, and she was in hospice. And the hospice of East Texas here, they have quilts on each bed, which are made by a local church here. And they were on the beds, and my mother commented about the quilt on her bed, and it was who it was made by. We talked about it, and they actually let me take the quilt when my mother passed away. And I told myself, you know, I want to do this. I want to pay it forward. That's what I'm supposed to do. That's in God's plan. I'm supposed to make quilts for others and spread this to others, because it brought her joy in her last moments here. And it was beautiful. So that's kind of where my quilting story, I guess, started.
I'm assuming that there was a label or something on that quilt. Is that how you found the Christian Yes. Quilt Guild?
Actually, the one that was on the bed was made by a church, Flint Baptist Church here, which is not far from Bullard or Tyler. It's just south, but it's still in East Texas. And they have a local group there that sew, and it had their label on it. So I didn't really know about the Christian Quilt Guild until I think I was asking some local ladies there at hospice, and they brought up Jerry Ann in the Christian Quilt Guild. And so I was like, okay, well, let me check into that. And so I decided to go to one of the meetings, which they were held there in one of their little rooms at hospice. And that's where I met Jerry Ann. And that was probably in about 2016, 17. My girls were still in high school at the time, and high school seniors, band, all the stuff that goes on in your high school student's life was keeping me pretty busy. Plus, I was working. And so it was like, okay, I don't think this is the right time yet, God, but it's coming. I know it's coming. So just keep me on this path. But I did purchase my first machine from a local sewing store here in Tyler in 2016. And I just wanted a quilting sewing machine, but it wasn't that much additional to add the embroidery unit. So I went ahead and added that to my purchase, and that was in 2016. And so I went to my first meeting in 2017 and kind of introduced myself. And Jerry Ann was just then forming the Christian Quilt Guild, and members were starting to join. And so it was new for her too. In fact, I think they just had their birthday. The Christian Quilt Guild just had a 7-year birthday party at the last meeting. So it's hard to believe how time just gets by, but it does. Anyway, I didn't join then. It was probably in 2020, I believe, that I started going more full time. And she was actually meeting at a church in Tyler then. And so I started going to the meetings, and I joined and started helping them make quilt tops. And we were making them for the Salvation Army, Angel Tree Children, some hospice, some local Wounded Warrior veterans. We've got a variety of organizations that they're donated to. And I believe this last year, we donated 138 or 140 approximately to the Angel Tree Children. So we probably have now over 50 members of the Christian Quilt Guild. So it is growing, and more people are learning about it, and they're coming, and it's just very rewarding.
That is so wonderful that you guys reach out to all these wonderful charities. Now, in making the quilts, do you make them at home and bring them together at your meetings, or at your meetings do you work on quilts?
Both. We have work days. We actually have workshops where different people will volunteer to make, like there might be a certain block or method that we're wanting to learn. So it's kind of like a teaching along with a workshop. So everybody will come to the workshop. It's usually on a Saturday from 10 to 3, and we will work on a block. And once you complete your block, like we did one not long ago that was all red, white, and blue for veteran, I believe it was a pineapple paper piecing. And once we completed the block, everyone would turn it in, and then we combined all the blocks, and it makes a donation quilt. So it's like everybody plays a part somehow, some way in each quilt. And we've done different things, different years. Like one year we did this little round robin method where you make a center medallion and then you add borders to it. So you might make the first maybe 30 by 30 center, or it could be smaller. I can't remember. I think it was 18 by 18 actually. And you make the medallion, and then you take it to the next meeting, and somebody picks it up and they add a couple of borders. They bring it back. Somebody else picks it up. They add some more borders. And then it might be big enough that it needs to be long arm. So a long armer will take it. They'll do the long arming, bring it back, and then somebody else will put the binding on it. So everybody plays a part in each quilt. So you don't have to do just one by yourself. And you learn along the way because we come and we teach different methods. I've learned a lot. I've learned quite a bit from the other ladies. Jerry Ann teaches a lot. She's very, very knowledgeable in different things. And we all pray over the quilt, the day, and the Lord is just with us the whole time.
And isn't it exciting how he leads that quilt goes to exactly who it needs to go to?
Yes, and brings blessings to them, I'm sure, because we have blessed the quilts, and then we hope and pray that it blesses the recipient of the quilt.
Yeah, I'm sure it does. Well, Robin, are there other hobbies that you do?
Well, right now I'd like to sew and learn new things. My husband and I, we actually have two RV parks as well along the way that we've built ourselves. He's a civil engineer, so he's designed it, and I'm the accountant, so I set up everything. And you build and they will come, and they did. And we have been full, and we are blessed to have great managers. It's just been, you know, wonderful. I've met lots of neat people. One of them is here local. The other one is in the hill country of Texas. And so when you're talking about the different terrain in Texas, you just travel a little bit and you'll see some of that different terrain. It's very dry down there, but it's beautiful and the people are so nice. And so we travel. These last 2 months, Texas has had a shop hop. So some of the local quilt stores have joined in the shop hop. I believe there's 105 in the state of Texas that joined in, and people are traveling to them, and you obtain a little stamp and you purchase things from their store. It's been fun. And I've met some people along the way. So as we traveled to our RV park, we'd stop. So I've enjoyed that. I've enjoyed the traveling. We've had a good time and just seeing different things, different parts of the country. And I've been to towns I haven't been through before. So as we get older and we retire, I hope to get to do some more traveling.
Have fun. I have noticed on Facebook, RV quilting groups.
I've noticed them too.
Have any of them arrived at your parks?
I've really not advertised it too much. The one in the hill country, we actually have a little community room where I could probably have a quilting group come and set up for the day or the weekend. That's a good thing to focus on. Maybe reaching out to some and see if they would be interested, and I'd make sure I go for sure.
That would be a fun way to meet some more quilters.
Right.
My next question is, do your hobbies show up in your quilting? So does any RV stuff show up in your quilting?
Definitely. I've bought many patterns that are applique, RV, which is part of that embroidery unit because it can do some applique, but you can also cut it out by hand. That's the way my daughter, the chicken quilt I did for her, it was applique. it was a pattern, and you fused some fusible web on the back, and I cut it out, and then you iron it on, and I used my sewing machine to sew around it, and it just turned out really great. And the story of that chicken quilt, it was early December, and I said, well, do you want anything special for Christmas? And she said, well, since you've asked, the one thing I think I might be wanting is a chicken quilt. And I'm like, oh, well, okay, I need to get started on it because I don't have much time. And so I did. I went to a retreat with some friends. I've been to several retreats this last year. I've never gone to them before, but this was my first time. My sister-in-law encouraged me to go with the Christian Quilt Guild. She came down and was a speaker one time for our guild because she has a mission. She's part of Hope Ministries of Northeast Texas, and they help single moms with children get back on their feet, and she teaches them life skills. They've chosen, you know, the wrong road or whatever, they got off the path, and she gets them back on the right path and teaches them life skills. And so she came down and talked to the guild one meeting, and so she really encouraged me to go to a retreat. And so I did, and I was blessed. It was a great weekend, got a lot done, fellowship with quilters, and it was a good time. And so in December, I went to another retreat, and I actually worked on this chicken quilt. And I got quite a bit done by Christmas, but just not quite finished. So it took me a little bit longer, but I finished it and gave it to her. And so she's tickled with her chicken quilt.
I'm excited to see that quilt. And there's a picture of it on your episode page. So we'll take a look at that here soon.
Yes.
Now, you mentioned you went out and bought a sewing machine and you wanted to start quilting. Did you go to classes or you just learned through the guild? Who introduced you to quilting?
When I bought it from the local shop, they offered to teach me to come back in. They would show me my machine. Well, they actually had a couple of monthly block of the months, I guess you call them, where you would come back in, but it didn't last but a few months. It wasn't for 12 months. It was just for a couple of months. I think that's where I learned how to do the applique because it was more of like a 12-month season quilt block pattern. And so I learned some stuff there. And then I watch a lot of YouTube videos and have learned different things that way because there's so much out there on YouTube that you can see and learn how to do. So I've watched some YouTube videos, just going with my friends to quilting retreats, the Christian Quilt Guild monthly workshops. I've learned a lot there, quite a bit. Things that used to look hard to me, after I saw somebody do it, I was like, oh, well, that doesn't seem as hard. I can do that. And so I've just jumped right in, and I've made a couple of t-shirt quilts as well. And my daughter, she played golf in her 4 years of high school, my youngest daughter, and she started in her 9th grade, and she told me that when she was a senior, she wanted to go to state. And I said, well, if you put your mind to it, you can do it. And so she worked really hard, and her team went to state. She bought t-shirts along the way with the golf team. So when she became a senior, I took all those shirts and made her a t-shirt quilt out of them and sewed them all together. And that was a first. I had never done that. And so it turned out great. She loves it. So I've learned, I guess, through YouTube and just others in the community that do the same. But there's still more to learn. There's different techniques, different methods. If I have a message to give other quilters, you might think it's hard, but if you just watch somebody else do it, you'll think, I can do that. And don't be afraid.
That's a great thing to share with others. Very, very good. Whether it's a quilt that you have made or someone else made, do you happen to have a favorite quilt?
I like them all, really, in different ways. I've made a few embroidery quilts. I made one for, well, it would be my great nephew. It was a dinosaur. He's autistic. And so I made the dinosaur. Also made him another one with Buzz Lightyear because he was very fascinated by Buzz Lightyear. He he's just turned 5 and he's just now starting to be verbal. So he's been nonverbal for most of his 5 years. And so when I made the Buzz Lightyear quilt, I wasn't able to give it to him personally, but my brother gave it to him because it would be his grandson. So it's my great nephew. My brother told me, he said the word wow. And to me, that was just, I just had goosebumps because I felt like I did something rewarding for him. And I think it's helped him grow. He's actually now talking more. So he's doing much better as far as his verbal capability and learning more. And I saw my niece just posted the other day that he says, I love you. So I'm glad that God is working with him to get him where he needs to be and improve his speech. But as far as a favorite quilt, I mean, like I said, I love them all. They're all different and special. And I feel like I've put my heart in them. The chicken quilt, though, it turned out really, really cute. I had the fabric for a long time and I didn't know what to do with it because I was like, oh, it's so busy. This fabric, it's busy. What do I do with it? And when she mentioned a chicken quilt, and I've had the pattern since 2016, I think, it's when I bought that pattern for that chicken quilt, never knew what to do. And she told me she wanted a chicken quilt. I thought, well, this one's meant for you. God wants me to make this chicken quilt for you. And so I used the fabric, and the busy, busy fabric just made the chickens just pop. And so I really like the chicken quilt. It turned out cute.
Oh, I'm excited to see it. Do you have a favorite tool that when you use it, you're like, oh, I am so happy I have this?
Well, there's lots of tools out there, I can tell you. And some are better than others. The one I use more than anything, and I bought it early on at a quilt store, I think in Austin, for whatever reason we were going down through Austin, is just a 2.5-inch by 6-inch ruler. And I use it just about every day when I sew because it's just the right length, half square triangles. You just cut down the middle. It's 2.5 inches if you need to make a 2.5-inch square. I use it all the time. I guess considered my favorite.
Yeah, those favorite rulers are great. So there are so many steps in our quilting process. Sometimes people like one step more than the other steps. And you mentioned earlier that people in the Christian Quilt Guild, when you would do that one project where you would bring it back and someone else would do another step, I'm picturing that, so they got to do a step that they enjoy a little bit better. Now, is there a step that you enjoy more than the others, or do you like each step along the way?
I really like each step along the way. I actually have a long arm, but it's not a computerized one. So it's more of a meander type stitch pattern, which is fine. And it works, you know, but it's on a 5-foot frame. So the 5-foot frame is a little small for some of the widths of the quilts because some are a little larger. And so that kind of gets me a little bit more frustrated, I think. Sometimes I wish I had a little bit more room on my frame to get it to go all the way across, but I've made it work. It works fine. And so I just use it, but I think that's just probably my most frustration is when I'm putting it on a long arm frame and my frame's not wide enough. But my favorite part of it, I cut them out, I piece them together and then put it all together. And then when it comes together, the pattern it makes, it's almost like a geometry, I guess, from your school. You have your angles and your pieces, the squares, and they all just fit together. It's like a puzzle. So I really like piecing. Binding, I'm still improving my corners, my mitered corners. Sometimes that gets kind of frustrating to me, but they don't always like work out flat and I want them to be flat. So I'm still working on that, but sometimes they work out great. You just can't be in a hurry. Just try not to be in a hurry. Take your time and it'll come together. So my favorite, I don't know if I really have a favorite. Just learning a variety of techniques, I think, is my favorite.
Now that's a good answer. Now, what was your worst quilting experience?
sometimes when you're on the long arm, if you're doing the little meander stitch and your tension is not right, whether it's your upper thread, lower thread, and it bunches up on the bottom and you get like this nest of thread and not smooth, that's probably my worst, because I've had to take one off and pull it all out and start over because for whatever reason, it wasn't threaded right. The tension wasn't right. It's just a certain little thing was wrong and it just kind of bunched up. So that's probably been my worst, I guess. It's always something to overcome and redo, but I've managed to get it done. It may take me an extra day or two, but that's okay.
Oh, with it bunching up like that on the bottom, are you afraid that you're going to put a hole in the fabric?
I've never done that, no, but I'm sure it would happen. So you got to try to be careful, but so far I haven't had that problem.
Oh, good. When you were speaking just a little bit ago and you mentioned sewing, I thought you might have indicated, do you get to sew every day?
I do. I work all day. I come home because my daughters are older now. They're not here. And so when they moved out, the house got really, really quiet. I mean, we have some dogs, but they're very quiet too. They don't carry on. And it just got really quiet. So I went to my sewing machine, and I think that's probably been, that was probably in 2021, the summer. They both moved out within 6 weeks of each other, and my house got super quiet. Well, my husband likes to stay outside in his shop, and he goes and piddles on things. And so he would go to his shop, and I would go to my sewing machine. This was after we eat supper. We work all day together. And so he'd go piddle in his shop, and then he'd come back in and he said, I'd see you at 9 o'clock, and that's bedtime. And so he'd come in and we'd go to bed. So I started sewing just about every day. I'd just do a little bit. Might be cutting out. It might be piecing. It might be putting on binding for one of the guild quilts, and just whatever's on my pile I'd work on. So if I sew every day, yeah, to me, it's my getaway. I kind of get away to my sewing machine, and that's where my focus is at the time. I'm trying to get to the next step.
How wonderful to be able to get to it every day. I'm curious what camp you're in. There seems to be two camps here. Are you a person that works on one quilt at a time and finishes that, or do you have a pile of quilts?
Oh, I have a pile of quilts. Yes, it's like, some are more challenging than others, I think. And so it just depends on your frame of mind. If you're really tired for the day and you don't want to work on that one that's very challenging, then go for the simpler one that's not so challenging. But if you're very fresh and you can focus on that challenging technique, well, then I'll get that one and try to get it as much accomplished as I can. But I do have a pile. I have a few that are unfinished. So I'm probably the same as everyone else. In fact, I think there's a local quilt shop here that they have a little game going on, and you put your name in the pot. And if you bring in a finished item that's been in your unfinished pile, then you get your name put in for a drawing or something. But you've got to sign up that you have several unfinished projects, which I thought was kind of cool, really. I mean, it's kind of a motivator to get you focused on, let me get this finished. And that was one thing every year at the beginning of the year, I usually don't make a New Year's resolution. I pick a word and I focus on that word throughout the year. And so like one year it was joy. Then one year it was organized. And then this last year, I believe it was complete. And so I try to focus on that throughout the year. And then at the beginning of the year, I continue on, pick a different word and let me work on that. So it works out. It's helped me.
Yeah. Robin, why do you make quilts? Why do you think you continue to work on these quilts instead of using your time to do anything else?
It's rewarding to me to see that you start and you finish something. some are a little longer to finish, of course, but it's a rewarding thing to me to know that I've made this. It was a pile of fabric, and now it's a blanket or a quilt that somebody will get to enjoy for several years to come.
Mm-hmm. And in that enjoyment, I just see people getting a great big hug.
Right. And I actually, for the Christian Quilt Guild, where we donated to the veterans, the quilts that we made, and the recipients came, it was very rewarding. It was for a good cause. It was like paying them back, I felt, because they have been in the service. And I felt like I was paying them back because I gave them a quilt or helped in making all the quilts. And I explained to them, it wasn't just me. It was several ladies that we all worked together. Each one does a different piece of it. And then here we are. And then I was there and they all either shook my hand, gave me a hug, thanked me. It was very rewarding.
Mm-hmm. Now, on the personal quilts you make, who do you make them for?
My family. I've made my aunt a couple. In fact, I've got one I need to go give her. I made her a kitty cat one. It had kitty cats on it because she loves kitty cats. She lost her husband a couple of years ago, my uncle, and he was really into Notre Dame and the Irish. And so I've made another one in his honor that's got a lot of shamrocks on it. And I actually went and rented a long arm that did the little computer shamrock pattern. And I put it on this quilt. So I just need to put the binding on it and then I need to take it to her. So I make them for my family, like my husband and my children, my aunt. I've got to make one for another close friend. So it's just, I don't mind it at all.
Are you working on a special project right now?
I'm actually trying to finish a quilt that was for my great niece. It's something similar that I had given her brother, but she's three now, and it's an embroidered one that I pieced together, and it's kind of got like a Paris theme to it, but it's just a keepsake that she'll be able to have for her lifetime, and I'm trying to get it quilted. It took me a while to figure out how to quilt it. I think that's what got me kind of stuck. I didn't know what to do. And so then one day I'm like, you know what? I just need to do this. I've made it too hard if I overthink something. So I've learned not to overthink. Just if it comes to my mind, just do it. Just do that. And it's going to look great. And it does. So that one sat for a while because I couldn't figure out what to do. So I'm actually trying to finish that one right now, which I'm getting close. I'm probably halfway through with it. And hopefully in the next week or two, maybe I'll have it done. But it's one of those more challenging ones, I guess. So put it on the side and then would pick up something else instead of that one to finish. But I don't need to do that. I just need to not overthink and pick it up and just get it done.
Well, you've already given two wonderful tips. The one of don't be afraid and then don't overthink.
Yes.
So my next question is, share a quilting tip.
Make sure you have a good quarter inch foot on your sewing machine. If you don't have one, they probably don't cost that much for your machine. I would invest in that because it just makes it so much easier because the quarter inch makes a difference in your patterns and your seams. And I've tried different ways on once you sew your seams, whether you iron them open, iron them to the darker side of the fabric. They both turn out fine. So I think that's just a personal preference. If you want to spend a lot of time in getting your seams opened, then do that. If not, just iron it to the darker side. And then when you get ready to fit one block to another block, they'll usually kind of nest together. And so it helps your points come together. We've learned that in the guild in one of our workshops. That's where I kind of learned that. And plus you can watch a YouTube video on that too. So those are some really good tips for beginners, I think, is a quarter inch foot and ironing your seams to where they'll help you when you go to put your blocks together.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
Well, Robin, was there anything else you would like to share with us?
I think I do remember one thing. I've thought back in my life, what caused me to really like quilting? And I see it now, because once you get into quilting, and there's felt boards, I guess you call them, display boards, where you can put your block up on the board and look at it from a distance. And a friend of mine told me, don't be afraid to enter a quilt in a quilt show. Once you get one made, put it in a quilt show so you can see it hanging up. And I didn't realize, what? What are you talking about? And so I've been to a couple of quilt shows now. And when you stand back and you look at them, because I was part of a block of the month last year, and there were several of us, and we all did the same quilt pattern, but they all look different. And several of them entered it into a local quilt show. I wasn't quite finished with mine. Just need to get the binding put on it. But anyway, there were four of them, but they all were different. Every single one of them looked different from the quilting. Some did different stitching. So it's your personal artwork of what you want to put into your quilt. And there's decorative stitches. There's just different things that you can do to add a little extra. And so if you want to try something like that, don't be afraid. I've never entered a quilt in a quilt show, but I think I may try this next year. I'm going to pick a pattern and say, okay, this is going to be it, and see what I can do with it and try to get it entered into a local quilt show. Not that I'm trying, you know, I just want to see one hung up, I think is my thing. But from when I was in kindergarten, I remember we had a felt board and we played house with these felt pieces. And we would have a felt piece cut into the shape of a house. You would have family members, you'd have a little dog, and you'd stick them up on this felt board. And to me, the little display felt board that you put your little quilt block up on to look at from a distance has reminded me of that from kindergarten. Is that strange?
Yeah, that is fun to put that up like that.
Yeah, I just remember that from kindergarten.
So much fun. Well, thank you, Robin. This was so much fun to hear your story, and thank you for sharing with me.
Well, thank you, Paula, for reaching out and asking me to share. I appreciate that.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You can find more stories on aquilterslife.com or subscribe on your favorite podcast player so each episode will be downloaded automatically. Also, I want to hear about you and your wonderful quilts. Please contact me, Paula Chamberlain, through the website to set up an interview. And as always, thanks for listening.